All right. Well, listen, I want you to open your Bibles up to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Last week we talked about the Antichrist. Actually, we talked about the falling away or the apostasy and the great falling away must come before the Antichrist appears on the scene. And also that must happen before the Lord's return. Amen. All those things have to happen first. And the Bible is very clear about that. And now as we look into the scriptures, we need to look at the attributes of the Antichrist. Now, I am not covering all of those today, obviously. You'll thank God for that because it's 8 o'clock. So, because it will take a while to cover those. But tonight we're going to cover a few of those. And then we're going to continue on because I want to preach a message to you called Adam 3.0. And I want to show you how the Antichrist, his coming, his power and his authority, and who he really is, his identity. Not naming like that person as the Antichrist, but being able to describe him by who he is and by what he does. And I believe, I want to show you how I believe he's going to come on the scene. And I believe we're seeing those things now, okay? We are seeing the there is not a day that goes by that there is not some kind of article about merging man with machine and DNA on the Drudge Report. I mean, every day I go on there, there's a new article. And I'm sending those to Jim. And I'm like, okay, we're going to do an OPBC online. Just take all these articles and hold on to them. We just got them there. And we're looking at and we're bouncing back and forth with these articles. And there's more coming. And it's happening at a fast pace. Facebook today, or yesterday, released Mark Zuckerberg, whatever his name is, Zuckerberg, whatever you want to call him. He's producing all this material now, and he's saying, hey, listen, this is the next phase, and he bought Oculus Rift for a reason, and virtual reality, and AI, and all this technology, and all these things, because he wants to merge man with the machine. He says he wants telepathically for your mind to communicate with the machine. He's probably worse than Steve Jobs, but he's probably worse than Steve Jobs, I think. But anyway, he is saying that he wants telepathically for that to, and he said, that's where we're heading. Just letting you know, that's what we're working on, that's what we're doing, mind control, you controlling everything. Like, I don't know if any of you remember, like the X-Men, some of you would know what that is, and that Dr. Xavier, how he communicated telepathically, and then some of the others did, and that's how they communicated. Well, that they didn't show you that, like, just for fun. Oh, like, that's just my imagination. No, the Bible says that your imagination, at the end, in the days of Noah, which, by the way, I'm going to preach about again, the days of the Antichrist and the days of Noah, and I'm going to do a comparison of those. Because when that Antichrist comes on the scene, you are going to see some things that, I mean, we're heading for it right now. They are telling you what they're going to do. And how did they tell us? They already showed us. Hollywood's been showing us for years what they're going to do. If you ever watch science fiction films from the 1970s, like Star Trek, things like that, what did they have? They had little receivers, right? And they flipped them up and they could talk with them, right? What was that? It was a cell phone. Yeah, it was a flip phone. That's what it was. But everybody was like, no, they're never going to have that. Right? Or how about, remember when they touched the badge thing and it went, hey, that thing went off at the same time. That was kind of weird. I promise I didn't do that. That was weird. Anyway. Man, that was strange. Anyway. But they would touch that little receiver thing and they would be able to talk. We have that. We have Bluetooth that does that. We have all those things. So I'm going to save that. I'm not going to get into that now, but we are going to talk about that. Because I think it's really important that we do a comparison. The Bible says, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Well, what happened? Their imagination was only evil continually. That's what the Bible says. Their imagination became so evil. What happens when their imagination takes off and there is no restraint? There is nothing. You have machines now that can translate any language. There's no barrier with man any longer. So what happens with that? Nothing can stop him from doing what he wants to do. So what does he want to do? Bring the Superman. Man to be a god. They want to create a god in their own image. And they're going to. Right, they're going to. And it's going to be the Antichrist. But they're going to have Satan's help. But we're going to talk about that maybe next week or Sunday. I don't know yet. We'll see. But we are going to talk about that because we need to do a comparison. We need to understand really how practically these things apply today. But tonight, what we're going to start with are the attributes of the Antichrist. What is said here in the scriptures about this man and the Antichrist that will come on the scene. Who is he, and or what is he about? You know, what are his attributes? And it's shocking how you will see he is a counterfeit. Okay? So a fake Christ, like a fake dollar bill. He is a counterfeit Christ, a fake one, but he's also against Christ. He's also an anti-type. Right? Right. So that's who he is. All right, so 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 2. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together unto him, that you be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, as if the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed. Now notice what he's called there. The first thing he's called there, what is he called? That man of sin. So I want you to think about a few things. Jesus is the Son of Man. He is the man of sin. Jesus is the man of sorrows. He is the man of sin. Right? Jesus is the meek and lowly one. So pay attention. That man of sin be revealed. The son of perdition. I'm going to explain to you what that means too. The son of perdition. But notice these titles. You know how all through the scriptures we find titles for Christ. But you also find them about Antichrist. And I'm not going to get into his military power really. I'm going to touch just a little bit on it tonight. But I'm not going to stay on it. Because that needs its own separate message. To be able to explain. I want to do this whole series on the Antichrist. I started it last week. I'm going to continue it on. I want to break it down. I want it to be exhaustive. Because it is exhaustive. There's a lot there. But he's also called a king of fierce countenance. Which is the opposite of Christ. He wasn't a king of fierce countenance. Right? So, it says here, the son of perdition, right? Who opposeth? So he's opposeth. He's against, right? He's opposing. If I oppose something, I'm standing against it, right? But that's not enough for him. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. Now, I'm going to show you that all the way through the scriptures. This is not the only place this is said. It's said in other places too. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. When this man comes on the scene, it is going to be revolutionary. Because it's not going to be like anything that was ever worshipped before and in the way that it was worshipped. Because look, it says above all that is called God. Notice that's capitalized. Right? Or that is worshipped. So that he, as God, sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed. So he's called what? He's called that wicked. The wicked one, right? What does the Bible say? The wicked one toucheth them not, the Bible says, right? He's just like his daddy. Notice, what is that? What is that? Notice the word wicked. What is it? Yep. Mm-hmm. It's his name. Then do a word search through the Bible of that, of wicked. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord... Now, his revealing, his appearing, I want to talk about that, but I don't have time tonight. We are going to talk about it, though. The Antichrist appearing. Because not a lot is talked about that, but that's how we're going to get into his appearing, his power, his deception, his signs and lying wonders. Remember, the power is real, the signs are real, the wonders are lies. If you get that wrong, you'll be confused as to how he's going to come on the scene and what he's going to do. Because he's going to be given power, and then Revelation 13 tells us where he gets his power. Gets it from his Father. Yep. For the mystery, okay, and then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming. Amen. Even him, who's him? The wicked, right? Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. So I want you, and I'm not going to get to this tonight, but look at this. I know I'm just in the introduction. I haven't even got started yet. Man, I got to hurry. Okay. Even him, look at this, whose coming, it says his coming, is after the working of Satan. Well, Christ came, right? And who sent Christ? The Father, right? Christ willingly went, but the Holy Ghost overshadowed the womb of Mary, right? So his coming was after his Father, was, you know, and God is his Father. Amen? The Antichrist, it says, whose coming, about him it says, whose coming, even him, whose coming is after the working of Satan. So the way that he comes on the scene is going to be after the working of Satan. This is speaking of his coming. Do you understand that? And I'm not going to stay here. But it says, after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders. So his coming comes with all power and signs and lying wonders. His coming is going to be something that is a lying wonder that deceives the whole world. Do you get that? But it's going to be with power. And the power and the signs that he comes with are going to be like shocking to the world. Mm-hmm. All right. And lying wonders. And with all deceivableness, his kingdom is marked with deceivableness, with deceit. That's what his whole kingdom, Jesus is the truth, his kingdom is marked with deceit. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. So, as we look through the scriptures, we see some of the attributes that are going to stick out to us, and I want to show you those tonight and kind of go through some of those. And the first one here that I want to talk about is, he is called the man of sin. He is a caricature of Christ, an exact counterpart and mockery of Christ in being the man of sin. The latter has, like the former, number one, he has an apocalypse when he comes on the scene. Right? Verse number 8. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth. Right? So the Bible says he's going to come in a major way. A solemn coming on the stage of human history is the next thing that you have to notice about this man of sin. He is going to have a solemn coming on the stage of human history when he comes. When he shows up, it's going to be the revolutionary time. He has an advent. Even him who's coming, he has a coming. Just like Jesus had a coming. The Antichrist has a coming. Make sense? His coming will be with power, signs, and lying wonders. Christ came, and what did he come with? Power and signs and wonders. But his weren't lying. His were real. Remember, when Elijah called down fire from heaven, that's how they knew that that was God. In the end, the Antichrist is going to do the same thing, and that fire is going to come down from heaven. It's going to be a lying wonder. He has a designation. He has a job to do, this man of sin. Verse number 4, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God. I want you to understand, you are not, to try to understand what this man is going to be like, his physique, his charisma, his power, his authority that he speaks with. It's tough to explain, but when the Bible says even the if it were possible the elect to be fooled, they would be, because when he comes on the scene, he is going to be so charismatic, like an angel of light. That's right. That's how he's going to come on the scene. He has an appointed season of his own. In verse number 6, it says, and now you know that withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. He has a revealing. He has an appointed time of which he's going to come, just like Christ had an appointed time when God sent forth his Son. Right? I'm telling you, and I believe I'll give you a hint. I believe the gist of the lying wonder is going to be his mocking of the incarnation and giving life unto the beast. Or into the image of life, or the image of the beast. There is going to be life given. There is going to be, he is going to come on the scene. He is going to have great power. He is going to mock the incarnation of some kind. And I believe he's going to use all of this artificial intelligence, all of this AI, along with the devil giving consciousness and everything else. I think there's something to do with that. I don't know how it's all going to play out yet, but it sure is leading that. Right now, they have a way to take DNA, charge it with a computer, and control it. And they're doing it now. And I believe that's how they are going to do a lot of that. But we'll talk about that later. But also his ministry has marked this man of sin with the character of Christianity, as some of the leading glories of Christ are studiously shown in the, but this lawless one or this Antichrist, and he forces us to think of Christ. But his system is false. He's imitative. He's imitating Christ. It's anti-Christian. Remember the comparisons. The mystery of iniquity versus the mystery of godliness. What is the mystery of iniquity? God was manifest in the flesh. His coming, this man of sin, has an energy and inworking, imitative of the energy and inworking of the Word of God, of the indwelling of the Spirit. He's going to work in them by such an energy, right? The Bible says that the wicked one is in them. It says that the Spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. There's going to be an inworking of error. There's going to be a regeneration into the faith of the lie. They are going to be sold the goods, so they take the mark and they follow him. Because he will heal their sickness, he will turn them into the weak into strong. Those that are not intelligent, he will enlighten them and make them intelligent. Those that were never wanted or loved by somebody, he will give them every bit of a relationship that they desire. Yes. He is the embodiment. When he is called the man of sin, it is because he is the embodiment of sin. He will be sin basically manifest in the flesh to its fullest with no restraint. None. That's why that man of sin, I like what John Trapp calls him, that man of sin, that breathing devil, that sin itself can hardly be more sinful. He is the embodiment of sin because of what he will do and his pride and how much he will exalt himself above any other or above God. He's not merely a sinful man, but a man made up of sin. That's why he's called the man of sin. Because Satan will be his father. One man says he is concrete wickedness, a deep allusion to the satanic character lying at the base of the Antichrist. When he says he's literally a man made of sin, the man of sin, it's because that's exactly all that he is. He has a purpose, and his purpose, sin and rebellion to God. That's his only purpose. And I've heard people say it's a succession of popes and things like that. Will that lead up to that? I'm sure of that, but this is actually a real person. Just like Christ is a real person, this man of sin is a real person. These are attributes of a person, not a system. This is a person. But he will be revealed. Before Christ is revealed, the Antichrist must first be revealed. The same term is used for both, that strengthening the supposition that Paul speaks of a personal, individual Antichrist. Paul speaks of the revelation of the man of sin in contrast with the hidden work of iniquity. He says it's no longer going to be a mystery because he's going to be manifest in the flesh. You get that? Just like the mystery of godliness was what? Christ manifest in the flesh. It's not a mystery anymore. Right? The incarnation. What is the mystery of iniquity? The incarnation of iniquity. The evil can no man understand. It is hard to understand that. But if you take the two side by side, they have to be. Be personally revealed. Even so, the power of Antichrist is now secretly at work, but will hereafter be made manifest in a definite and distinctive bodily personality. It'll be a man that comes on the scene completely, and he's going to show himself to be God, just like the Bible says. That's a man showing himself to be God. And you know what? Jesus said, if a man comes in his own name, him you will receive. They didn't like Jesus because he was the meek and lowly one. They're going to like the proud, arrogant man that exalts himself above God. They're going to like him because he's going to feed into their ego. Right? Could you imagine a man that rises to power that has the absolute satanic power behind him and has no desire or conscience for anything right and no restraint? It will take God to destroy him. And he will. But that's the power of that man. We're not even touching that tonight, but that's going to be that man of sin will lead the apostasy. He will join up with the apostasy. He will run that apostasy straight forward into a system that will not be, I do not believe it will be a system of perfect Roman Catholicism. Because Roman Catholicism is changing right now before your eyes. It's transforming right now. Will it be a part of that? Yes. But what else will it be a part of? Well, there's 1.1 billion people there. Who else has 1.1 billion people or so? The Muslims. Who else? The Hindus. Right? Now take all those people together following a man. And then take the remnant. Right? It'll take God to come and destroy him. Do you understand that? It's not going to be hard to take all these lost, deceived people and throw them all into one group when the Antichrist comes on the scene. And he sits in the temple of God saying he is God. And he makes them gods. Are they? If you're not saved, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, what are you going to do? You're going to follow him. Why wouldn't you? He's going to make you a god. And you've been so deceived and you think that's the guy that's supposed to come. And most are going to follow him. Right? Next, he is called the son of perdition. Now, this is interesting. Do you know what that word means, perdition? It means destruction. Do you know that he is the son of destruction? I did a little word search on that, and I thought that was kind of interesting, but we'll get to the definition of it first. The Bible gives us many clues to the times of the Antichrist and what they will be like. But why does the Bible call him the son of perdition? Well, that word means entire loss or ruin, utter destruction. He is the son of utter destruction. The utter loss of the soul. Future misery or eternal death. The impenitent sinner is condemned to final perdition. One man said it this way, if we reject the truth, we seal our own perdition. It's true, that's what he says here. But he's the son of perdition. What's going to happen with him? People are going to follow him. And destruction is in his path. But you know, I started to look at this a little bit. And John chapter 17, verse number 12, I've done this study before, but a man named Judas Iscariot says, John chapter 17, verse number 12, while I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept, and none of them is lost, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Judas was called the son of perdition. Is it a clue? I've often wondered about that. I fell on both sides of this as to whether many people have speculated whether God will bring back Judas from his own place and he will be incarnated as the son of perdition. I know I'm going to get to that. If you think about that, John chapter 13, verse number 27. Let's go there. Actually, verse number 24 we'll start at. John chapter 13, verse number 24. Because it is interesting, right? Words mean something in the King James Bible. You can't just ignore them and act like they don't. Who else was called the son of perdition? That's not exactly a title that gets thrown around quite a bit to a lot of people. Now look at this. Simon Peter therefore beckoned to him that he should ask who it is should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast saith unto him, Lord, who is it? Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Now that's not said about anybody else but the Antichrist. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew for what intent he spake this unto him. So you see, they didn't know what was going on. Jesus knew what was going on. Jesus knew who he was dealing with. But they didn't know. Nowhere else is it said in the scripture that Satan entered into anyone like that. Jesus called Judas the son of perdition. The Antichrist is called that. He is the son of destruction, the son of perdition. Why? Because he himself is devoted to certain destruction and is the instrument of destroying many others. He is called the son of perdition because his whole life is to destroy men's souls, to bring them to perdition. The only one that could be that evil would have to have Satan in him to hate that much. Think about that. There is no natural affection with this person. There is none whatsoever. There will be none. He will be a monster of iniquity, the son of sin. Now, you know, that word destruction is interesting, so I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse number 1. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 1. Because that word destruction comes in again in the scriptures. And the Bible shows us the times of Antichrist by this. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. Who is that sudden destruction? The Antichrist. That sudden destruction is going to come on them. That son of perdition. Now turn to Daniel chapter 8, verse number 24, and we see the same thing. They think peace is coming, destruction is coming. He is a destroyer. He is the son of the destroyer. That's all he wants to do is destroy. He has no desire at all. Daniel chapter 8, verse number 24, has no desire at all for life, but to destroy it. Daniel chapter 8, verse number 24, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power, and he shall destroy wonderfully. Look, there's a hint. Remember that? What did it just say? He says he shall be mighty, and his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. Where's he getting his power from? The dragon. That's right. And he shall destroy wonderfully, and shall prosper, and practice, and shall destroy the mighty and holy people. Who's that? You. Notice what it says here. And through his policy also he shall cause craft to prosper. That's a whole other story. In his hand. And he shall magnify himself. Now notice, here comes his pride. Okay, we're going to talk about his pride. We're going to go over this verse again. But he shall magnify himself in his heart. And by peace, look at this. He does it by peace. And by peace shall destroy many. He's going to destroy. What is he? He's the son of perdition. What does that mean? The son of destruction. What is he going to do? Destroy. How is he going to do it? By peace. Do you understand the level of deception now? Do you get it? He's going to come in granting this peaceful thing. But it's not going to be peace. What is it going to be? Because when they say peace, peace, then cometh what? Boom! That's what he's going to do. Get it? That's how his kingdom works. Because the world is going to be desirous of peace. Like it is now. Oh, we want to end these wars. We're tired of all these wars. And I'm too. But the solution to that is going to be the man of sin, the son of perdition. He's the one that's going to put an end to these wars, so you think. He's going to be the answer. Come on, how many presidents have we had that, oh, got to end this war in the Middle East, got to end this war in the Middle East, got to end this war in the Middle East? There's no intent to end any war in the Middle East. Why? Because they're waiting for Superman. They're setting up his kingdom for him. And they are working for him. Be it Rothschilds, Rockefellers, Alex Jones, Mark Dice. Right? They're actors. The Pope. Right? Gandhi. Right? They're all actors. They're all part of the play. And through his policy shall he cause craft to prosper in his hand. And he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many. He's just going to do it by peace. He's going to come in, and he is going to slaughter under the guise of peace. He is going to destroy their souls and them. He shall also stand up against the prince of princes. That's Christ. But he shall be broken without hand. Well, how's he going to be broken? By the word of his mouth and the brightness of his coming. That's how he's going to be broken. That's how you can know the times of the Antichrist. We take this verse, we put it with 2 Thessalonians, put it all together, it tells you there. Destruction marks his path because he is the son of perdition, the son of destruction. His father is the destroyer. What's another attribute of Antichrist? He is proud and exalts himself, which is the opposite of Christ, who is the meek and the lowly one. Turn to Isaiah chapter 53. But they receive this. They're going to receive this man. Jesus said, you're going to receive this man. You don't want me. You want him. Why? Because he's going to make you a god. That's why. Yep. Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant that has a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Why is that significant to this study? Yet there's because they're desiring him. He's going to come and walk as this God. Yeah. And his military prowess, everything about him is going to be so amazing that they are going to want him. But Christ, nobody wanted him except his remnant. Because they wanted the exaltation of man. They had the desire to be gods. And every man, before he gets saved, and woman before he gets saved, desires to be God. The ruler of his own destiny, the controller of his own time. And this man that comes on the scene will be sought after and loved and praised. I mean, look how people went gaga over Barack Obama. And that guy can't do anything without a teleprompter. And then from the other side, the Republicans, look how many of them like that trucker hat of his and love Donald Trump. I'm going to do a tirade on that hat. I'm going to do like a rant on that hat. Okay. Anyway, I'm going to put it on YouTube, the rant on Trump's hat. I can't say it. But look how many people went crazy over him and that he can do no wrong. Now, there's people that voted for him that don't believe that, okay? But there's many people out there that will defend his errors, defend his lies, right? That's not everybody, but that's a number of people, many people. What are they going to do when the Antichrist comes on the scene if they're not saved? They're going to fall for it, right? They're going to fall for it. But what does it say about Christ? There is no beauty that we should desire him. This guy's going to be the complete opposite. The Bible says about Jesus, he is despised and rejected of men. He'll be received by men. What did Jesus say? Him you will receive. Jesus, despised and rejected of men. A man of sorrows, not the man of sin. A man of sorrows. And acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. They're going to esteem the Antichrist, though. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He is the man, the Antichrist is the man of sin, and this verse is the man of sorrows. You see, Jesus is like his father, and the Antichrist will be like his father. You have the Son of God versus the son of perdition. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. What is he going to do? We'll go back to 2 Thessalonians. Here's what he's going to do. Who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God and that is worshipped, so that he as God sits in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. He's not going to be meek and lowly. You know, he's going to say, take my mark if you want to be a God. You want to be like me? You want to do what I can do? Take my mark. And they'll run to him. And they're being set up to run to him right now. Right now. Turn to Isaiah chapter 14. This is who he is, just like his father. The Antichrist is just like his father. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse number 12. Isaiah 14, verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which is weak in the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart. Stop. Let me ask you a question. Where does it say, or what does it say the Antichrist will do? He will do what? Magnify himself where? In his own heart. Now go back and read this. What does it say? It says, for thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Now you know who his daddy is, don't you? Lucifer. What did he say? Satan, what did he say? He magnifies himself. Turn to Daniel chapter 11, verse number 35, please. Keeping you awake, keeping your Bibles here, keep you moving around here a little bit. By the way, he says here that, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell. That's what God says about Lucifer. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. They that see thee shall narrowly look upon thee and consider thee, saying, is this the man that made the earth to tremble, that did shake kingdoms? Now, it calls him a man, which makes me think that that is his incarnation of the Antichrist, mocking the incarnation. Satan doesn't have the power to create life. But what can he do with it? Pervert it. Right. So I believe he's going to put the full force and thrust of his power into Antichrist, his son. And for all the skeptics to say, well, that's just not possible. He can't do that. Well, why does God compare the mystery of iniquity to the mystery of godliness? Why does he compare the incarnation with Satan and his coming? Why does he compare all those together? Exactly. He's going to make artificial life. And he's going to give life unto the beast. Unto the image of the beast. To an icon. Okay, Aaron, don't get me started on the Greek Orthodox icons. I'm saving that. I got to do something with that later. I don't have time for it right now. But that's the same thing. What are they being set up for? Rome is set up for it. The Hindus are set up for it. Who else? All those that worship dumb idols. Right? All of them are set up for it. The Muslims, they have that. Isn't that a black stone there in the Kaaba? What's the thing called? Yeah, that thing. Yeah, they worship that thing. They bow down to it. And then they say they don't do that, but they do. Anyway. All right. We've got to keep moving here. But look what he says here. Those five things he says that he's going to do. He's going to ascend. He's going to do that. How about the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north? What congregation? All the apostates? All the false brethren. Yep. Daniel chapter 11, verse number 38, and verse number 35. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge, and to make them white. That's good. Amen. Right? Yeah, it is encouraging. That's right. And some of them of understanding shall fall to try them, and to purge, and to make them white. Amen. Praise God. Even at the time of the end, because it is yet for a time appointed. And the king shall do according to his will. Uh-oh, who is he? He's full of pride. He's the son of Satan. And he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god. Stop. Where have we heard that? Where did we hear that at? 2 Thessalonians. What did it say? Above all that is called God. For he as God sitteth in the temple of God, saying he is God. Right there. There's your second witness to it. Or that is worship, that's right. And magnify himself above every god. And he shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods. What does that mean? Blasphemies. And shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall... Now, we don't have time to get into a lot of this, because there's something interesting here that I've got to study more of. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers. Makes sense? Nor the desire of women. Now, some people speculated that, and they say, does that mean he's going to be a homosexual? I don't believe so. I believe he's androgynous. I believe he is going to set himself up and say he is evolved above that. Yeah, he's evolved above that. No desire for women. No desire for anything. He's evolved. He's past that. Right? He's way past that. Doesn't mean anything to him because he is so consumed with absolute evil that nothing of that nature will have any effect on him. Nothing. No, he doesn't need it. Exactly. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women. Do you know that every kingdom has been brought down, almost every kingdom has been brought down by women? The leader, some woman, got to them one way or another. Caesar that got stabbed in the back by, was it Brutus or whatever? Right? Yeah, got stabbed in the back. That women involved with all that. Always women involved with all that. Why? Because a man goes gaga and loses his brains when women are around. I'm just telling you the truth, they do. They just, when they get heightened with power and everything like that, and all these women are throwing them, they just lose their minds. And it's, right? Look at Solomon. Wisest man on earth. Man, how could the wisest man on earth be such an idiot? Right? 700 mother-in-laws? Were you kidding me? Actually, that'd be 1,000. 300 concubines. How wise is that? 1,000 mother-in-laws. That's not wise. Well, it isn't. Huh? No. Not to mention 1,000 women in itself. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any god, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces. We're not going to talk about that tonight. We are going to talk about that when we talk about his incarnation or his mock incarnation, whatever, his coming, I should say. We'll talk about it then. But that does mean something. He shall honor the God of forces. And a God whom his fathers knew not shall he honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and pleasant things. He has no desire for women. He opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped. And that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. His pride pushes his blasphemy. Turn to Revelation chapter 13, please. Revelation chapter 13, verse number 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. That's the same. Remember it said in Daniel that he spoke marvelous things against the Most High? Same thing. Power was given to him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. He's basically blaspheming the throne of God. Mm-hmm. You don't understand how drunk with power he's going to be because he is going to be the embodiment of Satan. So he is, I mean, this is it, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Daniel chapter 7, verse number 25, and he shall speak great words against the Most High and shall wear out the saints of the Most High and think to change times and laws, and they shall be given into his hand until a time and times and the dividing of times. So, Daniel chapter 7, verse number 25. So, this Antichrist, this man, his attribute, pride is his number one attribute. I mean, it really is. His exaltation of self. Yeah. Yeah. And I believe that there is some truth to that saying about, you know, that it's a succession of men. Let me say in the sense that I believe that that's possible. I think Satan takes a man out of every time period and takes him all the way as far as he can. But he gets to go no further. Because there's something in his way to stop him. But one day, he's not going to be stopped anymore. One day, iniquity, the Bible says that iniquity comes to the fullness, right? The fullness of iniquity comes. When the fullness of iniquity comes, what is the fullness of iniquity? His appearing. That's the fullness of iniquity. His times are marked by that fullness of iniquity, and his ability, and his ability to appear will be there. But it will be a grand appearance. It will not be like Christ's appearance in the sense that most of the world did not know. Everyone is going to know about this Antichrist. They're not going to understand who he is, right? Exactly. They're going to be deceived by him. Most people are going to see him in here, not here. They're going to merge with the beast. They're going to see him right here. What did Mark Zuckerberg say? Everything's going to be done right here. We're working on it right now, telepathically. To see, he said, they're already working on the contact lenses and everything else so you can... Do everything from there. And what's that? That's just a contact lens. That's still not in you. It's still on you. They're going to merge the mind. I had somebody say to me, well, I don't, that's conspiracy stuff. No, actually it's not. They said it. It's not a conspiracy. It's not even hidden. It's all over the Drudge Report and they're bragging about it. It's a $120 billion business right now, and it's going to go up. I bet it doubles this year. All of this is leading up to something. What? The Antichrist appearing? Who'd have thought that any of these things? But where do you think this technology comes from? Most of it. Most of it, if you start to do a study on it, it came from imaginations, right? Mike Hoggard preached a message, Pastor Hoggard preached a message called, he did a watching broadcast, it was called Technological Witch. No, The Ghost in the Machine, it was called. The Ghost in the Machine. And basically how all of these things, how most of these things came from imaginations and dreams. That's how these things came about. One guy said he figured out the code for what he was doing because he had a dream. And then he had another dream and it gave him the other code. And that's how he got it. Dreams and visions. Right. Right. That's how they found out what DNA looked like and everything else. Mm-hmm. All verifiable. You can see it. They say it. They admit it. Yeah, they're not lying. Oh, by the way, you want to know something crazy? We're done with this for tonight, but you want to know something even crazier? Right now they have something popular out there called microdosing. Yeah. I mean, Aaron, when we were younger, it'd be like people dosing on acid would be like, dude, you're just like crazy. Now these, and everybody did it, right? Partying and all this, but it's not like that now. You know what it is? It's now they're advertising it on drugs. These people are microdosing. They say, you know, just a few drops of acid are allowing me to get through the day, and I'm more positive, and I actually see things. And I can complete tasks, and I can visualize them better. No, that's called devils, you dummy. Okay? That's called devils. Stop it. Don't do that, okay? Don't do that. That's not it. Yeah, they say, I feel so enlightened. I bet you do. You're dosing on Sid. Are you nuts? I mean, when I was a kid, if you would have told me they'd have an article on the Drudge Report and all these professionals, there's like a district attorney or somebody like that it was that's like talking about, yeah, I left my name out of the article. They changed the name to protect the people. One works for Congress. Well, I'm not surprised. Anybody surprised? Anybody here surprised?
Anybody else surprised?
Not surprised at all, right? But listen. Dude, it's called microdosing. I'm not kidding you. I just read a thing, and I'm like, are you kidding me? Are you nuts? You people are opening up so many doorways to devils. But what's it going to do? It just makes the Antichrist appearing that much more easy. Because pretty soon, they're going to find a way to take those drugs and mix them with this and then get them to this. Electronic drugs. Say, that's not going to happen. What do you think Oculus Rift and all those things are? They are destroying reality with people. And they have to, so when that Antichrist comes on the scene, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness, right? Yeah, that's right. Thou answerest them, O Lord our God, thou wast a God that forgavest them, though thou tookest vengeance of their inventions. Evil inventions, right? But God made man upright, but what did man do? Sought out many. Mm-hmm. That's from their side of the imagination, and that's where a lot of these people got this. And then you couple that. If your imagination has no restraint, if there's no restraint in your imagination, I'm saved, so the restraint is the Holy Ghost, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity of the obedience of Jesus Christ, right? That's what we have. Lost people, no restraint. When I was a lost man, I would let my imagination just go wherever it wanted to. But now it's like the Holy Ghost says, no, you don't. You stop that right now. Right? And what happened in the days of Noah? What did they do? Oh, I'm going to preach on that next. I have to. I might preach on it Sunday. Continually, nothing. God said that nothing would be withheld from them. They can do whatever they want. They'll accomplish whatever they want. Tower of Babel, everything else. So anyway, there's so much. More could be said about that, but I think I might do that. Maybe I'll do that Sunday. I want to do that comparison because I think it's important to understand what's going on and see how things are steamrolled. Anyway, that gives you some of the attributes of Antichrist. We're not done yet, though. We need to talk about how his appearing comes and his power and his kingdom and his authority. I'm telling you, the thing that you and I need to be doing most is praying for lost people. Pray for these deceived people, because judgment is coming. And mostly pray for the religiously deceived. Those are the worst, because they're going to be the first people to accept What does it say? In all deceivableness of unrighteousness, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And that's the cause that God sent them strong delusion. And it's coming. The son of destruction. The son of perdition. Father, Lord, we thank you for the truth. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you for salvation. And Lord, we just pray, Father, for those that don't have salvation, that they may turn to Jesus Christ, repent of their sins, and be born again by the Spirit of God, trusting Him by faith and faith alone to save their souls. Lord, we know that the deception is coming upon the whole world, but we also know that you are the truth, and you gave us this book. Help us, Lord, to snatch those out of the fire before it's too late. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.